church. Man, it is amazing to be in the house with you guys tonight. Today. Come on, can y'all tell I haven't slept much? It's been love week, so we've all been out serving, right? Come on, it's amazing to be here with you guys today. My name is Junior, for those who don't know me, and can we just say how amazing Love Week was? I mean, we got to serve our community. We got a team that flew in yesterday from building two houses in Mexico. We've got 60 baptisms happening today throughout three locations. It's amazing. If you love your church, would you give God a shout of praise? We love this church. And if that wasn't enough, I mean, you know, you got Pastor Scott making pancakes over here at this campus. I'm saying, like, when you got a lead pastor making pancakes for folks, true story, my wife came and she brought me some pancakes in the back and she said, hey, baby, here are some pancakes. I said, nah, that's my weakness. I can't even mess with no sugar before I get out on this stage. It's going to mess me up. I can't have any. And she said, well, Pastor Scott said he made these specially for you. I said, well, they're specially for me. I'm going to have one. I ate the whole thing. That's what it was good, right? But that's one of my weaknesses. And so today, I'm actually excited to talk to you about strength. See, everybody wants to be strong, but today I want to talk about what does strength look like in the kingdom of God? And it may not be what you think. See, I think John MacArthur says it the best. He said, there's no one too weak for God to use, but there may be some who are too strong. Come on, I'm gonna say that again. I need you to receive that. There's no one too weak for God to use. Some of us have felt like, man, I'm just too broken, not good enough, man. God can't use me. He's like, there's no one too weak for God to use, but there may be some who are too strong. Because see, when we're weak, we know that we're not enough. When we're weak, we know that we need the Lord. As a matter of fact, let me ask you a question. What seasons do you think you've prayed the most in? When you had a need and you were hurting or when you was blessed? Most of us in our weakness come to God and we've said some of our deepest prayers in the darkest moments. No one too weak, but there are some who may be too strong, because what happens is when we think we're enough, when we think we got this, we can start to let our egos get big enough that we start to edge God out. Ego stands for edging God out. Come on, are we bold enough to boast about our weakness? Come on, church, are you bold enough to boast about your weakness? Because the Bible tells us that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. See, I remember exactly 7 years ago, and Scott, I'm sure, remembers this as well, but 7 years ago, Pastor Scott was gonna introduce me as one of the pastors of the Boynton campus, and I was just moving back from North Carolina to be a pastor here. I just left ministry training in North Carolina, and I remember Pastor Scott says, hey, I'm gonna introduce you as a pastor, but I also want you to say a few words. And I remember in that moment, I'm like, what do you say when they're gonna introduce you as a pastor, right? Come on, Boynton campus, Lake Worth Church at home, what do you say when they're gonna introduce you as a pastor? So I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to say. And so my natural inclination was, well, tell them how qualified you are. Tell them how good you is. Well, you can't use is because they're not going to respond. You got to say how good I am, right? Like, you got to show them your strengths, right? And in that moment, I felt like God said, tell them about your weakness. I said, Lord, hold up. I must have misheard. I thought you said, tell them about your weakness. He said, tell them about your weakness. I said, God, I don't think that's a good idea. Have you ever argued with God? Like, Lord, I don't think that's the right strategy. Can we sit down and talk about this one, right? I'm like, one-on-one, I'll tell you about my weakness, but speaking to a crowd of people, God, I just don't know if that's wise. I'm telling the one who created wisdom what wise is. And so God says, I want you to tell them about your weakness. I got to tell you guys, I wrestled with this, right? Until the morning of, I'm wrestling with this. And then the day of, I get here and I get in the green room and I'm sitting in the green room. And while I'm back there, I'm sitting there. I'm like, God, what if they don't respect me? What if I lose their respect because now they're just going to see me through my thorn? Like, God, I don't know if I should do this. He said, tell them about your weakness. And so I remember getting out there on that stage, and I'm there with Pastor Scott, and Pastor Scott brings me out, and he's like, all right, Junior, say a few words. And I come out, and I just say, well, man, I just want to tell you guys that, man, I'm so honored to be a pastor in this place. And by the way, man, I struggled with depression, suicide, anxiety, addiction. And in 2013, I actually went to rehab because I couldn't stop drinking. I couldn't figure out how to do this on my own. But God changed my life in rehab. And today he is working in me and through me. And I'm just so honored that I get to be here, right? And I remember walking off that stage saying, now nobody respects you. Don't nobody want to talk to the addict pastor. You couldn't even stop drinking. What was you doing telling him you was an addict, right? And I remember that week, the team told me that we had gotten so many connection cards that they think we had more connection cards that day than ever before in history, with people sharing about their thorn and their issue and their addiction and what they were dealing with. And that week, I decided to go to Walmart, right? Now, here's the thing. You can ask my wife. You will not catch a brother at Walmart. I do not like Walmart. Nothing against Walmart. The lines are too long. It is chaotic. You will not find me. But I needed something from Walmart. And so here we are. It is 11 o'clock at night. Now, you know you go to Walmart at 11 o'clock at night when you don't want to talk to nobody, right? I'm just saying, you have those days. And so I go to Walmart, 11 o'clock at night, true story, that week. And I get there, and this couple runs up to me. And they're like, hey, honey, listen, that's the dude right there I was telling you about. He used to do blank, and now he's a pastor. By the way, what he said I did, I never did. But how interesting is it that when you leave something vague like a thorn or a pain, people will relate their thorn and their pain to yours? And so he said, he used to do blank, and now he's a pastor. And so she looks at me and she says, hey, were you really an addict and now you're a pastor? She used a vague term that I could come in agreement with. I said, yes, I was definitely an addict and now I'm a pastor. She's like, well, I've been telling him he can't be a pastor one day because he's so crazy. So you're trying to say that he could actually be a pastor one day? And I said, listen, the word tells me that in Christ, we can do all things. So I definitely believe that he can be a pastor if he wants to be a pastor. And she said, man, I didn't think people like y'all became pastors. I said, neither did I. I'm as shocked as you is. I'm surprised I'm up here anytime I get to be up here, right? But how funny is it that because I was willing to boast about my weakness, could you imagine if I would have went up there and said how qualified I was? See, sometimes when we tell people how qualified we are, they disqualify themselves. Think about this. So I went to school and I spent 13 hours a day in school. And by the way, I read the Bible for 13 hours a day till my eyes feel like they was gonna pop out of my head. I'm qualified to be here. And I'm like, I could barely read for 13 minutes. So I guess this ain't my job. What else y'all got I could do in this church, right? Sometimes we embellish too. Sometimes when we qualify, we embellish. And so we don't realize by boasting about our strengths and our qualifications, sometimes we're disqualifying somebody that wants to do the thing that they see us doing. Are we bold enough to boast about our weakness? See, because today I'm gonna talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're gonna be talking about Paul's thorn. Come on, you guys have all heard about Paul's thorn, right? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to identify Paul's thorn? I've heard so many people, man. They're like, hey, Paul's thorn was this. Here's the thing. Many theologians, many pastors, many people have tried to identify Paul's thorn. And I am happy to tell you today, Journey Church, that after years and months and weeks of seeking the Lord about this thorn, God finally gave me a revelation about the thorn that I'm going to share with you today. So don't tune out, tune in to hear what God has to say about Paul's thorn today. So let's pray real quick and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us as we dive in. Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for this amazing opportunity to be here with your children. God, I thank you for your word that we're about to dive into. And God, I thank you that anytime your word comes forth, good seed falls from heaven. And today I pray that it would fall on good soil and produce good fruit in our lives. God, be with our church at home, be with our Lake Worth campus, be with our Boynton campus, be with us in this room today. As we dive into your holy word, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so today what I want to do is I want to read this scripture twice. So last month I just got back from France, and in France there's a dish called couscous. And they say the dish is so nice you got to say it twice. And I figured the word of God is so nice, why can't I say that twice? And so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read it first so that you can just receive it. And then we're gonna go back and we're gonna break the word down together. Amen? Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're gonna turn into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. This is Paul speaking. And he says, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. See, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. Come on, that's good right there. He said, man, heaven was so good, you can't even speak it. Says, on behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or that he hears in me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of this surpassing greatness of a revelation, a thorn was given in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Now, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. So let's break this thing down together. So the first verse says, I must go on boasting, though there's nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to revelations or visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, Paul is saying, by the way, guys, I don't want to boast. I really don't want to, but at that time they had these super apostles, right? Quote, super apostles that were actually pulling people away from God, right? So Paul decides, I'm gonna go serve this church. I'm not gonna receive any money from them. I'm just gonna go serve them for free. And they actually decided to use that against Paul because these super apostles, these great speakers were getting paid really well. And they're like, dude, like we all get paid. We're all people of stature. Look at Paul, who is he? Why are you listening to that guy, right? Now, isn't it interesting that sometimes we're impressed by people of stature? We're impressed by people who have all of these things and accomplished all these things. And Paul is saying, guys, don't be impressed by me. Don't be impressed by them. Be impressed by him. Come on, Scott said it the other day. We're impressed by somebody that could shoot a ball into a hoop or catch a football. That's cool. I love that. But God told the stars where to come out. He told the sun how to shine. He told the oceans where to stop. Don't be impressed by them. Be impressed by him. Amen. But how often today are we lured in, right, by the impressive people, right? I mean, think about this for a moment. If somebody like Denzel Washington or Beyonce or Brad Pitt, I don't know who's famous nowadays, you think about the person that you think is famous, okay? But let's just say for me, let's just say Denzel called you this week and said, hey, man, listen, I wanna hang out with you this weekend, you know, so let's spend some time together. You could have had plans with your mama, and it could have been important. You, mama, hey, real quick, I know we were supposed to hang out, but Denzel wants to hang out with me. Mama, Denzel knows my name, right? And then you call all your friends, you're gonna be like, listen, this is not a big deal. Really, it's not a big deal, but I just wanna let you know, your boy's hanging out with Denzel this weekend, you know, my man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just saying, like, Denzel is cool, right? So we can get excited about Denzel. We could clear our schedule to hang out with Denzel. We get excited that a celebrity knows our name, but how about the one who gave you your name? He knows you by name. He not only knows, he's the one that gave you the gifts, talents. He created you on purpose, for purpose. Don't get excited about Denzel knowing your name. Get excited that he knows your name. Clear your schedule for him, right? Come on, we need to make time for the Lord. Paul is saying, don't get excited about these super apostles. Don't be impressed by them or by me. Be impressed by him. He's the only one that we need to see. And he continues to say, see, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heavens. Now, when he says, I know a man in Christ, he's actually referring to himself, okay? Just so that you know, as you continue to read, he starts to talk about himself, but he is so humble that even when he's talking about the revelation, he's not even speaking in the first person, he's speaking in the third person. It's like, man, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Now, I just kind of want to clarify the third heavens, because there's a lot of different religions and different people believe different things, right? Like the Mormons believe that there are different levels to heaven. So if you're really good, you get to go to like good heaven. You get to go to like bougie heaven, you know what I'm saying? But if you like not good, and if you just said a prayer one day and you barely made it into heaven, you're gonna go to like this level of heaven, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess heaven really does got a ghetto, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, you're gonna go to the hood of heaven. I mean, it's all good, you're not in the fire. But you don't want to be in the hood, right? That's not what Paul is referring to, by the way. There's not those levels of heaven. See, when they're referring to it in the Bible, when they say look up at the heavens, they're talking about the sky. The second heavens is the place and the space beyond the sky, the stars, the sky, the galaxies. And the third heavens is the place where God resides. And so Paul says, I was taken up to the place where God resides. Now, here's the thing. I've heard people argue about, well, Junior, was this an in-body or out-of-body experience, right? Like, I think he was physically taken up to heaven, like his whole body went up to heaven, right? And then some people argue, I really think it was like an outer-body experience, like maybe it was like a dream or something, right? And it's interesting to me how we'll argue about things that God leaves vague. Have you ever seen people just arguing about things, right? We'll spend hours arguing, and God's like, can you go help that homeless dude? Stop arguing about this stuff. I could imagine us getting to heaven and going to Paul and saying, okay, Paul, we want to finally settle this. Was it in the body or out of the body? And Paul looks at you and says, I said, I don't know. I literally said, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, right? And so let's stop wasting time arguing about things that God leaves vague, right? Verse 3 says, and I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. See, on behalf of this man, I will boast. And on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So Paul says, listen, I had such a great experience, right? That you can't even really put it into words. He's like, when it comes to things like heaven, like you, our words, our finite dictionary doesn't have the words to describe what heaven or who God really is. So I believe A.W. Tozer said it the best. I'm reading a book called The Knowledge of the Holy, and I feel like he put it in such a way that I wanted to share it with you because it really drives this point home. So this is A.W. Tozer in this book. He says that we learn by using what we already know as a bridge over which we pass to the unknown. See, it is not possible for the mind to crash suddenly beyond the familiar into the totally unfamiliar. See, even the most vigorous and daring mind is unable to create something out of nothing by spontaneous acts of imagination. See, those strange beings that populate the world of mythology and superstition are not pure creations of fancy. So the aliens and the stuff that you see on TV is like, man, those things look grotesque. Or they look, it's like, they're not pure creations of fancy. The imagination created them by taking ordinary inhabitants of earth, air, and sea and extending them their familiar forms beyond their normal boundaries, or by mixing the forms of two or more so as to produce something new. However beautiful or grotesque these may be, their prototypes can always be identified. They are like something that we already know. And so what Tozer's saying is that, guys, when it comes to describing heaven and when it comes to describing God, we don't have the words to describe it. As a matter of fact, even Ezekiel, when he's speaking, he's like, this was made in the likeness of, or it looked similar to, but he didn't have the words. Like, have you ever tried to describe a food to somebody and like you couldn't figure out how to describe it? So you're like, you know, it's kind of like pasta. So it's pasta. No, it's not pasta, but it's also not rice. It's kind of like, I don't know how to identify. So we give its likeness, right? I remember Pastor Matt told me he went to a country, and while he was there, they told him, hey, tell us about New York. And Scott and Matt was like, hey, you know, they have all these tall buildings, these skyscrapers. And they're like, what are buildings? Buildings are like these skyscrapers. He's like, what are skyscrapers? He's like, and I'm trying to explain to these people who've never seen a building before what a building is like. And so I'm like, hey, it's like stacking 100 of the huts that you guys have on top of each other. And they're like, how do you stack 100 huts, right? But like people don't understand. And what Paul is saying here is, guys, this place that God is leading us to, the place that we're going to, words can't even describe how amazing it is, right? Now, verse 7 says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. And so he says, listen, guys, this revelation was so good that I was given something bad to keep me humble. Come on, this thing was so good that I had to be given something bad. See, John Maxwell says, visions make people passionate, thorns keep people authentic. See, sometimes we need the thorn in our lives to keep us grounded because of this vision or this revelation that God had given us, right? Now, when Paul is talking about this thorn, many of us think about like these little things that we see in plants, right? But if you actually went back and looked at what he was actually talking about, back then, he was talking about a stake, like the type of stakes that you put to hold down a tent. It was an 18-inch stake. He said, I have this 18-inch stake in my side that's creating me this pain, right? He says, this thorn was given to me. Now, again, we've had all this great debate about what the thorn was, okay? And so today I want to identify part of that revelation to you. So some people believe, some theologians believe that it was some sort of malaria or sickness. Like, that's what it was. Paul had some malaria or some sickness. Others believe that it was a physical ailment because Paul was not physically impressive or a great orator, right? But I've studied long and hard about this thorn, and I've spent so much time with God, and I said, God, I need to bring it to the people of Journey, and I know how much you love Journey Church, so would you reveal to me what the thorn was? And here was the revelation God gave me. You ready? You need to lean in for this. This is good. He said, Junior, if I wanted you to know what the thorn was, I'd have had Paul tell you what the thorn is. But I left it vague so you didn't disassociate from it. Because if Paul said, I had this pain in my leg, you're like, I didn't have a pain in my leg, so I'm good. I don't even identify with that, right? He said, I left it blank on purpose because I wanted you to know what it feels like to have an ailment that I don't remove. Because what does the next verse actually say, right? He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. Here's the thing. Paul believes in the power of prayer, doesn't he? Let me ask you a question. When you have a problem in your life, is God your first response or your last resort? See, Paul says, I had this pain. Now, we all know Paul ain't tripping about no little pain. You read the Bible, you realize Paul's been through a lot. So if this thing was bothering him, it was serious. And so what does he do? When he has this pain, he goes to God, but he believes in the power of prayer. So first thing he does, he's like, okay, well, God, I have this thorn. It's bothering me. I'm just gonna pray about it, right? So he goes to prayer and says, God, this thing is bothering me. And I know that you are the creator of all things. You love me. You're for me. You have the power to get rid of this thing in my body. And so, Lord, get rid of it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. But the thorn is still there. What do you do when the thorn is still there, Boynton Campus? What do you do when the thorn is still there, church at home, right? So then he goes back to prayer again, and he says, okay, God, maybe this is one of the ones that takes more prayer. So I'm going to take it back to God again. God, here's the thing. I have this pain that I'm dealing with, and Lord, I really need your help. I have this issue, and it's bothering me. Lord, would you please step in right now in the power of Jesus and deliver me from it? In Jesus' name, amen. But the thorn is still there. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to God about something that you're struggling with and he didn't answer yet? Some of you might be walking through that right now. You've got a thorn in your side. You've got something that you've been struggling with, and you've been going to God and saying, Lord, I know you can. And I have a feeling that you have the desire to. Would you remove this from me? But yet and again, Paul turns around and it's still there. And so he goes back a third time. Come on, some of us quit too soon on prayer. Some of us just need to keep leaning into God, right? So Paul knew the power. He went back and he said, okay, God, Come on, I've healed people in your name. I've done all these things. I know you have the power. I know you have the authority. God, right now in Jesus' name, remove this thorn. Remove this issue. I know you can. In Jesus' name. And it says that God responds to him. And we're going to pick up right now in verse 9. It said, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I'm not going to remove that thorn. That thing that you're asking me to remove in your life, I'm actually going to leave it in your life, and I'm going to be glorified through it in your life, and my power is going to shine through it in your life. I'm not going to remove the thorn. My grace, my presence in your life is sufficient for you. And so then Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, Paul knew this principle that the weaker he was, the stronger God became in his life. The less Paul was as a leader, the more God was as the leader of his life. Now the question is, are we willing to boast about our weakness? Because there's somebody in your office right now, there's somebody in your school right now, there's somebody in this church right now that needs to hear about your pain. They need to hear what God has brought you to. They see you smiling and they see you happy and they're depressed and they just need to hear that they're not alone. Are you bold enough to boast about your weakness? See, sometimes the thing that we want to count out is what God is counting on to reach people. Are we willing to allow him to use that thing in our lives? See, I love how God doesn't just remove everything from your life just like this, right? Come on, most of us, if we're honest, when we got saved, right? Remember that moment when you said yes, you went to the altar, you said yes, right? God didn't remove all of your character defects. He didn't remove all your brokenness. As a matter of fact, some of y'all left the altar, got caught off in the parking lot, y'all was ready to jump out. Hold up, you cut me off in church, right? And then you remembered you got saved. Hold up, I'm saved now. I might have said a few cuss words, but I'm not going to hop out the car. So you lucky I just found Jesus, right? And many of us are still in that. Sometimes our anger is like all these things, right? And so God says, by the way, in John 15, Jesus says, I am the grapevine and my Father is the gardener. And he prunes. So what does that mean? God is cutting things out of your life in his timing. See, Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you, God, is faithful to finish it until the day that Christ returns. Now, I've told you guys this before. I'm a fast start with no finish, right? I was nervous, and I'm like, Lord, I'll start anything fast. Finishing is a whole different story, right? But in that scripture, God says, no, I began the work in you. I started cutting things out of your life. I know exactly where to cut, how to cut, when to cut. And I'm actually removing these things in your life. Some of you guys are still beating yourself up because you're not perfect today. Newsflash, you won't be. Because in that scripture, he says, until the day that Christ returns. What does that mean? This side of heaven, none of us will be perfect. And so God says, hey, by the way, guys, I'm going to remove these things from your life. And one day I'm going to be done with this stuff in your life when Christ returns. See, I was reading through the book of Exodus the other day, and God gave me a great revelation about this, and this actually ties in really well to the message. So I just want to share with you guys this revelation that God gave to me from the book of Exodus. Can I share Exodus with you guys? Come on, this is a great revelation that I believe ties into this message really well. So Exodus 23, verse 27, just to kind of preface, God is about to lead the Israelites out of bondage into the promised land, okay, through Moses. And so before he takes them, this is God speaking to Moses. And so he says this, I will send my terror ahead of you and create panic among all the people whose land you will invade. I will make all of your enemies turn and run. Praise the Lord. Come on. He says, I will send terror ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Cellulites, all the ice that you don't like. I'm going to drive all of them out, right? I got you, right? He says, but I will not drive them out in a single year. Hold up, Lord, why not? What you mean you're not going to drive them out in a single year? God, you have the power. You can snap your fingers, do your thing, and it's gone right now, right? Like, what do you mean you're not gonna drive them out in a single year, Lord? He says, because if I do, the land would become desolate and the wild animals would multiply and they would threaten you. Now, I'll drive them out a little at a time. I'll drive them out little by little until your population has increased enough to take possession of the land. So you're sitting there, and I remember reading, I'm like, God, why wouldn't you remove it at once? None of us like our enemies. God, why wouldn't you take the enemies away at once? Why wouldn't you take away my character defects at once? Why wouldn't you take away these things that I'm struggling with at once? God, you can do it. You have the power. And he says, but if I do, the wild animals would threaten you. And so I looked up, what were some of the wild animals on that land? Because this is the land of Canaan. And as I looked up what were some of the wild animals, the first thing it started off with is there were lions there. Lions, bears, but the first thing it said is there were lions there. As I went back and I looked at this scripture, and I started thinking to myself, what do you call a group of lions? Pride. And so I went back and I said, okay, God says, I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and the wild animals or the lions or pride would multiply and threaten you. And so I'm not going to remove it all at once. I'm going to do it little by little. See, God says, I could remove your character defects right now, but if I made you perfect today, pride would come in and threaten you. I'm gonna do it little by little, so hopefully your humility starts to grow as you get better. Your character will grow as you get better, because I don't want pride to come in and destroy you. Can I tell you the most ineffective season of ministry of my life? The most ineffective season of ministry in my life was when everything was going great. I remember there was a season, man, I was on cloud nine. I was on that pink cloud. Everything was beautiful. Anybody would bring me problems and be like, Pastor Junior, how do I deal with this? I'm like, just pray about it. God is so good. Have you prayed? Just pray, right? And then they'd be like, well, Junior, I'm still struggling. Maybe you're not praying right. I don't know. But I know you could just pray about it. God will do it, right? And in that moment, God was like, I'm going to have to send a thorn. This boy here, he cannot relate to anybody. Nobody relates to him. Nobody's living in that pink cloud, son. Not all the time. You got to come down. And I remember when God sent that thorn. I remember that week I was struggling, and I went to my small group at Journey. I'm like, guys, I'm really struggling. And one of my friends, Jason, turned around, and he was laughing. I'm like, why are you laughing, Jason? He's like, I'm just glad to know the Almighty Junior got thorns too. That's not good, man. Yeah. But in that moment, God sent that so that I can relate to the people that he's called me to reach. Because most people don't live on the pink cloud. The people in your office, the people at your school, the people in this church around you aren't living in that pink cloud. Most of them are living with real situations. And God says, are you bold enough to tell them that you went through the same thing? As a matter of fact, I'll take a step further. Are you bold enough to tell them you're going through the same thing? Because so many people can find hope. That guy that day at Walmart, he found hope in knowing that I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. But yet and still, no matter how broken I was and am, God is able to work through me. And he said, if God is able to work through that fool, then maybe God can do something in my life too. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you bold enough to boast about your weakness? This week, Journey, there's somebody around you that thinks you're perfect. By the way, do y'all know the reason why I never wanted to become a pastor? I fought it. I actually ran for 5 months when God gave me the call. I understood Jonah real well. People are like, look at Jonah. Why are you running from God? I'm like, I did the same thing. God, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. And you know why I ran? Because all the leaders I saw seemed to be perfect. All the pastors I knew and all the leaders I saw were perfect. I'm not that. And so how can I lead? How can I become a pastor when I'm nothing like those guys? God says, I don't call the qualified, I qualify the called. I will qualify you. And your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Stop shining the light on you. You ain't Denzel. And even Denzel knows that the power comes from me. And so stop highlighting you and start allowing my light to shine through you so people can see me and I can change their lives. And so my prayer for us today, Journey, is that we wouldn't go around telling everybody how strong we are and how good we are and how perfect we are. Listen, I've learned one thing, man. We can lead from our strengths, but we connect from our weaknesses. So my prayer is that this week we're gonna go out there and we're gonna be bold. And we're gonna let people know how imperfect we are, but we serve a perfect God who loves us perfectly in the midst of our imperfection. And I believe that message will encourage them to believe that if God can use you, then God can use them. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for every single person that's in this room. God, I thank you for all of the weaknesses that you have blessed us with. God, thank you for the areas where we have to keep coming back to you because we don't know what to do. The greatest gift is that weakness keeps us at your feet. That weakness reminds us of you and who you are. And so, God, today I pray that we wouldn't pray away our weakness, but that we would allow a perfect God to work perfectly through the weaknesses that we have so they can be a strength in your hands. God, thank you for this amazing church. Continue to work in us and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 church. How incredible was that message today? What an amazing reminder that even when we are weak, that God can be strong and is stronger. We are just so blessed that no matter how weak we are, he is strong and that he uses our weaknesses to speak to other people, to bring other people in, and he uses us no matter what. What stood out to you guys today? Let us know in the comments. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd also love to know how we can pray for you guys today. Go ahead and scan that QR code or leave a prayer request in the chat. If you know somebody who could benefit from this message, be encouraged by this message, go ahead, share the YouTube, share the Facebook, however you like to share this message. Just go ahead and share it with one of your friends, your family, just whoever you know could use it today. We're going to end today the way we always do. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Know that you're loved.